wife. Now, how many of you have went through your week last week and have thought about Lot's wife? Honestly, last week, how many of you thought of Lot's wife? Very few. I didn't. Some time ago, sometimes when I'm reading the scriptures, something will stick out to me, and I'll just pin down these thoughts and thoughts for messages. And this was one that I pinned down some time ago, and I titled it, Remember Lot's Wife. Very few people think of Lot's wife. The reality is we don't know a whole lot about Lot's wife. So anyway, we're going to dive into this message today, and we're going to try to figure out what Jesus wanted us to do when he said to remember Lot's wife. There was a reason. There was a point in him saying, remember Lot's wife. He didn't just say it because he wanted us to have allude back to, oh, Lot's wife. He has a purpose to the statement. There's a purpose to the statement, remember Lot's wife. So maybe we can have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the opportunity to sit under the sound of your voice. Thank you for the encouragement this morning that Aaron shared with us that we're to be salt in this world. Lord, you know that we fail you many times in this area. We know that we are often very bitter Christians where we aren't salty like you want us to be. And Lord, this morning we come here to hear from you, come here to learn from you. We come here, Lord, with empty vessels. Lord, fill us. It is our desire to change. Lord, you know that we need you. And Lord, it is our desire to be faithful in the world that we live, Lord. And you know that the devil is out to kill and to steal and destroy the people of God. So Lord, help us to war against him and be faithful. Lord, I pray that the message today would do its intended work, that your desire, and we just commit it to you, and I trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I was thinking of death. As I was preparing this message this morning, I was thinking of death. And I thought, you know, where is there more hypocrisy and more fakeness and more show put on than in churches this morning, like right now, all over America. All over America, and you heard the phrase and you hear it often where they say, now put on your Sunday best. Now put on your Sunday best. Well, he was in his Sunday best. That's why he acted like that. That rings to everyone. We hear those phrases, and I thought, why is it Sunday morning that we want to put on a facade? Why? On Sunday morning do we want to put on a facade? We're not going to see our buddy. We're not going to see our friends. We're going to meet with God. He already knows you. But most people try to put on their Sunday best. Their Sunday best. And I was thinking of death. Only death. Only death. I don't know how to say this, but a lot of people are living a fake life. But death will prove you. Death will prove you, and I don't mean in this life, but death will prove you in eternity. So imagine this morning. The scripture says that it is appointed unto man once to die. There's a lot of theological ideas on dying and heaven and rapture, and I'm okay with a couple of those. But the reality is, there's a simple enough scripture that says it's appointed unto man once to die. The reality is, you and I are going to die. And I was thinking this morning that someday you're going to come to church the last time Someday you're going to come to church for your very last time. You're going to get up out of your seat. You're going to walk back the aisle. You're going to probably go down and eat lunch. And then the afternoon will come and you're going to go home. And someday it will be your very last time. The next stage of your life is they're going to put you in a box. And they're going to set us, me, you, right here. And then we're going to have this big service. And then people are going to come and they're going to walk past the box one at a time. They might do that for a couple of days. And then they'll take the box with you in it and they'll put you in the ground. And you're done. Someday, you're going to come to Concord Christian Fellowship the last time. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? So this morning, I want to lay that groundwork. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Mark was telling me of a friend of his from way back when, just the other day, we were driving down the road, and he says, hey, you know what? I don't remember the guy's name. He said, they put him in the ground today. And he's a wealthy man. And it just, you can go through the scriptures, and you can read about famous men. You can even read about famous men today, and the news will report it. They died at the age of 72. They died at the age of 82. And that will be your story someday. You're going to leave this room. It may be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday, but you will not come back. You'll come back in here in a box. I think that's okay to say, right? That's what's going to happen. It's reality. So are you okay with that this morning? This morning I titled the message, Remember Lot's Wife. And as a subtitle, I titled, Are You Ready to Leave? Are you ready to leave? Remember Lot's wife. And are you ready to leave? As a question. So this morning, the question begs an answer. Who is Lot's wife? You know, the Bible asks us to remember her, but who is she? What does God want us to remember about Lot's wife? And so I studied the scriptures and I looked up some stuff about Lot and his wife and his journey from when him and Abraham dwelt together and they had their cattle and their farms and their hired men. And I studied a little bit and I never found anything about Lot's wife. And I read into where Lot made a decision to part ways with Abraham, and he went in towards Sodom and Abraham did what he did, but there was no talk of Lot's wife, nothing. And some writers say that she would have been born with Abraham and Lot and in that area and grew up with them, and she may have been a hired servant that went with Lot, may have been one of Lot's hired servants that traveled with him. There are ancient writings. That's not the word of God. I don't know. We do not know who she was. We don't even know her name. The scripture has never recorded her name. Yes, there's ancient writings that say her name was this, this, and this. We don't know. But Jesus still said to remember Lot's wife. That's the most important point this morning, is we're to remember Lot's wife. And why? Just picture with me the scene this morning. Lot. Let's talk about her. Let's talk about where does she come into the scene? Where does she actually first surface in the scripture? Well, if you go to Genesis 19, and I'm not going to read it, we're going to kind of travel through that stage in their life. So Lot was a man. He was he showed up to Sodom. And I picture that he kind of wanted to stay on the outside. But long story short, Josh even mentioned he ended up on the inside. He ended up some type of financial advisor or a high seat in Sodom. And one day, you know the story well, two angels come to Lot, and they said the city is going to burn up. They said, gather your family, and there's because of the sin and the wickedness, and flee. And so I kept thinking, well, where's Lot's wife? Where's Lot's wife? And so I could only imagine that she was in there. She was in the house, and Lot brought these two strangers back, caused a complete ruckus among the community. The people were outside carrying on, doing unspeakable things. And I can only imagine Lot's wife inside saying, Lot, what's going on? Why are these people here? Look at all this ruckus. Why are these people in our house? And on the story goes. The next morning, the angels told Lot, he said, rise up and flee the city. And they didn't just tell him. They said, don't even stay in the plains. They said, go to the mountains. And Lot said, oh, I can't go that far. You know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be destroyed up there. And so the angels told him, all right, you go to the city of Zoar. And so the way they went, they're on their journey. And the Bible clearly says something that spoke to me. This is where Lot's wife, it's the only time she shows up in the scripture. It says, from behind. From behind. So Lot and his two daughters, they were just marching on. And the Bible says, from behind, Lot's wife was traveling with them. And she was going along, and I can only imagine. And this is the picture that come to my mind. Trying to walk after God, being bound by sin. Trying to walk after God, being bound in sin. That is a perfect picture of Lot's wife. She knows that if I stay here, I mean, we're probably going to die. But I don't know for sure. What about all the fun that we've had? What about all the enjoyment in Sodom? And so she takes off with Lot, but she's lingered. She's behind him. And as they're going, I can just picture what happens. I mean, these people ain't superhero, supernatural people. They were human beings. I can only imagine what happened to Lot's wife. She's thinking, really? You think God's going to destroy it, that city? Oh, man. All those people, my friends, the fun. She was trying to follow God, but her heart was still in the city of sin. Friends, brothers, sisters, if you are trying to follow God and your heart is still camped in the city of sin, there is certain destruction. As she walked along, she was behind Lot, and she did exactly what God told him. Don't do it. She turned around. Oh, the city of sin, the glamour, the fun, all that they used to do, the parties, the life, the fun, surely. Sudden destruction. She's gone. And I looked for a while to try to figure out exact spots where Lot's wife turned into salt. And the most logical answer is, I don't think anybody truly knows. And the reason for that is, I have never set a cube of salt out in the water or in the elements, and it rained and it stayed whole. It's an annihilation. She become a pillar of salt and the first dew and the first rainstorm, she was gone. God wiped her off the face of the earth because she was trying to follow God. And her heart was tied to the city of sin. Friends, if you are trying to follow God and your heart is tied to the city of sin, you will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. And I believe this morning that that's why Jesus said in Luke 17, remember Lot's wife. Because he don't want us to be tied to the city of sin. He wants us to be set to follow him. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never tried to get out. Maybe you've never even attempted to get out. Maybe you're here this morning and you know better than to put your tent inside the city. You know better. That's way too obvious. My tent can't sit inside the gate, but you're going to set it outside. But your heart is still tied to the city of sin. Any chance you get, you flounder right back through the gate. Any chance you get, you're right in the middle of the party. Any chance you get, you're messing with the people of Sodom. You're better off putting your tent inside, my friend. You're disgraced to God with your tent outside. Lot's wife was a perfect picture of someone trying to follow God, and their heart was in the city of sin. So my question this morning for you is, what are you looking back to? What does your flesh love to do? What was you delivered from? What was your Sodom? What was your Sodom? Because I assure you that the devil will make that thing look real good along your journey at a time and place somewhere. In your low time, he's going to make your Sodom look really good. And listen, if you turn back, it is certain destruction. Don't turn back. If you have made a choice to follow God and you said, I'm going to leave the city of sin, I'm going to separate myself, I'm even going to move my tent away from the gate, I'm done, and you go, God wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful. And the amazing part is, he promises to be with us. That journey is not alone. He promises to walk with us. Okay, so let's turn to Luke 17, verse 26 through 30. Through 37, I'm sorry. So let's start in verse 26. So Jesus is talking, and he's talking to his disciples, I believe, and even possibly the Pharisees here. And he says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and it destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be on the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Here's the verse. It says, very simple. Verse 32, all it says is, remember Lot's wife. It says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. They're not homosexuals. And one shall be taken, and the other one will be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken, and the other one left. Two men shall be in a field, one shall be taken, and the other one left. I don't know what that does to your heart this morning. But I believe we're going to be doing the same thing. He was saying that these people in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, he said they were eating, which we all do, amen? We sleep, we work, we build, we plant, we harvest, we buy, we sell. He's basically saying they're going to be going on with life just as normal. They're going to all be doing just the normal things. They're going to be doing the normal things. And the Bible says right up until Noah went into the ark. And it says right up until Lot, till fire rained down on Sodom. They're doing normal things. So this morning, I would like to paint that picture for us. Imagine this morning. Tomorrow morning, you get up. I don't know what all you guys do. Some of us are going to get in our trucks. We're going to rally a few guys together. We're going to go to work. We're going to be on the job site. Maybe you have you and your sons or you and all your employees, and you're going to head for work. You're going to get to work, and you guys are going to, I don't know what you do. You're going to start framing a house. And you guys put on your nail bags, you get out all the tools, and life is just normal. Just normal. And on you go. And over here, there's a mom and all her children. They're washing the clothes, they're cleaning up the dishes, they're spanking the children, they're just doing normal stuff. They're praying with their children. They're reading a Bible story. They're cleaning the yard. Normal. And then Jesus comes. And Jesus comes in the middle of normal. There comes Jesus. Maybe you're standing there handing up a piece of steel. And there goes your dad. He's gone. Wait. Where did he go? Wait. And maybe you're washing the dishes. Boom, there goes your mom. She's gone. When Jesus comes, what are you going to be doing? Maybe you're driving down the road, and maybe you're a dad. Maybe you're a deceiver. Maybe you don't love God. And all of a sudden, your family's gone. There goes your children, your wife, and you're left behind. Are you okay with being left behind? Maybe you're in a church room just like this, and everybody's singing, and it's all just fine. And you're sitting in your seat, and you know the Holy Spirit of God, just like those two angels came into Lot's tent, and they said, you need to listen to me. You need to listen to me. This place is going to be burned up with fire and brimstone. Flee the city of sin. Maybe the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you right in the church room. And then Jesus comes, and all the people are gone. And you're left behind. The Bible says in Luke 17, same portion of scripture, he says it's going to be like the lightning that goes from the east to the west. Now, I don't know of a one of you that can count them seconds. Somebody probably can. But it's immediate. Gone. When the Son of Man is revealed, it's instant. No time to repent. No time to tell your parents, I'm sorry. No time to delete all the bad things that you're involved in. It's a record that's recorded in heaven. Those that are gone are gone. And those that are here, they're here. Friend, and it ain't nobody's fault that you're here, but your own. Nobody. Nobody. Take responsibility for your sin. Take responsibility for your sin. Men were living normal life. I believe when the return of Christ comes, it's going to be pretty normal. I don't think there's going to be too many forewarnings. I don't think there's going to be a shaking ahead of time. And the earth is going to bounce up and down and you're going to say, oh, that's what it is. He's coming back. No, I think it's going to be normal life. I think you're going to be in bed sleeping, or you might be driving down the road. I think you might be just, it says, as in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. They were doing normal life. And Jesus came. Jesus came. And so I started looking at our lives. And I started asking the questions. What have we ran back to? What have we turned our heads to? What is our Sodom that we have turned and looked back? And I thought of some phrases that we use. You know, a lot of us have been Christians for a long time. I mean, some of you probably more than half of your life. Me, I was a Christian when I was 16 years old. And if you're in here, I know what sin's about. I learned about I learned some pretty bad sins at a really young age. I know about the sins. You're not going to deceive anyone in here. Sin has a grip, and it's hard to get loose from the city of sin. There's only one way. So if you're in here this morning and you've got a load of sin and Jesus comes, it's too late. I can't change the scriptures. You ain't gonna make it. Your parents and your sister and your brother and your pastor and your grandpa, they're gonna be gone. And you're going to be left behind. A lonely place. Alone. If you think all you want is your buddies, that's going to be a time when you don't want them anymore. That's going to be a time when you would be glad to be going away with Dad. Up into the sky with Jesus. But no, now I want my buddies. I want my sin. But when Jesus comes, your dad's going to be gone, and you'll be left behind. I hear things like this. What about for those of us that have walked with God? We have endeavored to please Him. What are the things that we like to turn back on? What was that? Whoa, remember that? You see, our flesh is all the same. Flesh is all the same. Lest we are bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, we're all the same. We're all the same. But that does separate us. That does separate the sinner and the saint. Be assured, it'll be because of the blood of Jesus Christ that your dad or your mother or your children are gone and you're left behind. I hear things like this. Yeah, when I was a new Christian, I was overzealous. I've maybe said that. I've heard those things. When I was a new Christian, I was way too sensitive. When I was a new Christian, we cared way too much whether we were modest or not. When I was a new Christian, we used to sing all the time. We would sing on into the night. We couldn't even as much as have a normal conversation. Bitterness was no problem when I was a new Christian. I used to love everybody. Yeah, I had way too high of ideals for my family. I don't know. I've said some of these things. Yeah, you know, when I was a Christian early on, and I want to make a very simple disclaimer. There are truths to some of that. There are truths to some of that as our early Christian life. Lack of discipleship, maybe make some wild choices that really were irrelevant. But what I'd like to take you back to is that time when you used to be so sensitive. When sin mattered. When you sinned, you cried about it. That time in your life. I want to take you back to a time when it was okay to not have a normal conversation. You just wanted to worship God. I want to take you back in a time when your ideals mattered. When your ideals mattered. You see, we live in a pretty tough time because we get a lot of press and we don't have to go to the news store and make a special appointment to drive off and go sit beside the newsman and hear the press and hear the push. It's in our fingertips. There's the push all day to pull you away. Ah, this is not a big deal. That ain't no big deal. This ain't no big deal. And all of a sudden, we've turned around. We don't even think about it. We've turned around and we have set our gaze back on the city of sin. Friends, there's certain destruction for turning around and setting your sights on the city of sin. That is why Jesus said in Luke 17, listen up, you remember Lot's wife. She tried that. She tried to do that. No, 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 no. You can't walk with God and have your heart set on the city of sin. I would like to take your attention to Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. And it says here, Paul says, but God be thanked. That we were, it says, but we were the servants of sin. But it says we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to us. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when it came? Do you remember when that doctrine came in? When we finally saw the light, we were delivered. From sin. Amen? We were delivered. Paul's saying, I thank God because I remember when I was a servant to sin. He said, but I remember when the gospel came in. And he says, we were delivered from the power of sin. That's what I want to end this message with today. If you have never left Sodom, if your tent is on the inside or if it's right on the outside, you are going to be destroyed by God. Because the angels told Lot, he said, don't stop in the plains. He said, because we're going to destroy the whole thing. He said, go to the mountains. I'm here to tell you this morning, young, old, children, trust me, I was a young boy and I had a bucket load of sins that was big. You're not going to make it if you don't empty that bucket. And you don't get a hold of this gospel that Paul's talking about that came. He said it came. Oh, I remember the day. Don't have to be a day. But Paul said, I remember the time when the gospel came. And if you're here today and you can vividly remember a time in your life, whether it was a span of time or a day when the gospel came, and if you remember that vibrant and that sensitivity and that love for everyone and that no bitterness was involved in your heart and sin was exceedingly sinful, let's go back. Let's go back. Let's stop making excuses. Let's stop making excuses for the hard things in life. They're hard. They're hard, but they don't change the reality. Verse 18 says, we're being made free from sin. Yea, he says, and we became the servants of righteousness. Make it a prayer of yours that you can say, I used to be a servant to sin. But now I'm a servant to righteousness. That is a testimony. That is a testimony that never grows old. If you find yourself here this morning and you used to not be, you used to be this, but you've turned around. And oh, the city of sin has got a hold on you. It's the same gospel that'll set you free again. Listen, Jesus said to remember Lot's wife for one reason. Because you cannot, it is impossible to make it into heaven and walk with God if you have your heart in the city of sin. No possibility. So I'd like to encourage you today that if you are living in sin and you are not a Christian, someday you're going to be working and those around you are going to be gone and you're going to be left behind. Sad day. A sad day. Make a choice today. Like Paul said in Romans, make that choice. I used to be a slave to sin, but now I'm a servant to God. And that choice is yours to make. If you're left behind, it will never be your parents' fault. It will never be your pastor's fault. It will never be anyone's fault but your own. You choose to be left behind, my friend. Don't do it. Don't do it. When he comes, you're going to want to fly away. Trust me. You're going to want to fly away. God bless you.